ladies and gentlemen, welcome to NJBW Poodle Wrestling. I am your co-host, Sunshi, right over here. It's the ever-loving princess herself. It's Melball. How you doing, Melball?
I am doing great, Andre. I am having a great day. I had a back day at the gym, which is the best day. It's my favorite day. It was nice. It's been really nice and quiet at my gym because a new one opened up. Like literally like a couple blocks away, and it's all bouncy pouncy, and like all of the creeps and old men have like gone over there to see what they can creep on over there. Little do they know there's a women's only section, unlike my gym, which does not have that. So it's been nice. I've figured out how to use that hack machine finally.
Oh really? Adjust it.
Yeah, because I had like, there was always people around and I would look stupid trying to figure it out because I'm so fucking short. I figured out how to use it because I felt comfortable enough because there was no one around. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing all right. Worked out with Rich this past Monday. Got another workout on Wednesday. I'm going to go work out again tomorrow. Schedule today did not work out well for working out with work and then two shows as we record this. It's Friday before we go live on OLE, so we got lots going on.
yes we do. I mean, there's been so much wrestling going on though. We have to do all these shows to keep up with everything because guys, we released two Chop Talks the beginning of the week. We saw AEW. We're going to be seeing Leo Rush on Sunday, so you can stay tuned for another Chop Talk. We got more Best of the Super Junior, and that tournament's getting crazy chaotic. Like, man, again, I've been saying this every show. What a time to be a wrestling fan.
Yeah, so this comes out Saturday, so we'll be recording the Best of Super Juniors Night 3 and 4 to come out Sunday on the day that Super Juniors Night 5 is happening. Or on the day like after Super Junior Night, day 5 has happened. It's just nothing.
When we're seeing someone who should arguably be in this tournament.
Yeah, but I'd rather him be over here hanging out with watching Leo Rush live. Tell you the truth,
that's fair. Now we get to tell him what a positive bad influence he has been on. Yep. Yo.
You can say he was bad. I thought he was a great influence on Yo.
He called himself the bad child.
Yeah, and he did a great job at giving Yo an edge before he got himself hurt.
Which is arguably a bad influence, right? Because he was the good boy. He was the nice boy. He didn't do anything bad, and he didn't step out of line or anything. Now look at this wacky persona that we have with Yo before he dickety-dicked that shoulder.
Yeah. I was enjoying that, Yo. So I know.
I was too. I enjoyed it. I did not enjoy, quiet Yo. You know, it was like losing show took a part of his personality that Leo was able to give back to him.
All about the O's. It's all about the O's. The show, the Yo, the Leo. You know, it's all about the O's.
Sure.
With that being said, we're going to get into it. But before we do that, I want to thank each and every one of you. If you're listening to us on Sunday Night's Main Event, thank you so very much. And if you are not, check us out. If you want to check us on audio form, go to SundayNightsMainEvent.com to check us at RSS feed over there. Lots of great shows covering everything else throughout the week. And check out their Patreon for only $4 American per month. You can support them and get some excuses and some extras there. Patreon.com/SNMB Radio. Also want to thank all of you for tuning in on YouTube, whether it's Andre Melbourne Talk, whether it's Backbreaker Video. Thank you so much for joining us here. Please like the video, subscribe to the channel, comment down below. Don't forget to hit that notification bell so you get alerted every time we drop a new video. Yeah, and share it out to all the weird people that have stuff coming out of their mouths.
Ding dong. What kind of stuff?
Well, we're gonna talk about it tonight.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Yeah.
I was wondering if you were gonna get that one.
It took me a minute. She's a little slow.
She's not good. It's crazy.
She's a little weird. She's a little off.
Yeah.
So.
So we get into it. It's NJPW strong resurgence. Veda Scott and Ian Rick Bonnie on the call here, which is kind of odd because Walker wouldn't be flying till what, a couple days later. Wouldn't be flying out till a couple days later because he just took off a couple days ago for Japan. So I'm surprised he wasn't going to be at the show. But maybe he might have had one of his indie dates, one of the indie companies he was working for too.
That's true. Maybe he can make it in time. I mean, fair.
That's true.
It's not an AEW show. It's not like he only was given 2 hours notice.
Yeah. So we got Mina. I'm happy. We got Mina. But we kicked off the pre-show with Adrian Quest versus Matt Vandergriff in a strong survivor match. Matt, almost said Matt Styles, but yeah, Matt Styles in his AJ Styles tribute gear. Because he was literally dressed up like AJ Styles, and he was literally like, and he literally did a phenomenal lariat at one point, and like, yeah, he again, it was his AJ Styles tribute gear. He was using the Styles Clash at one point. Remember, he won one of those matches at the Styles Clash.
That's true. That's true. But
Yeah,
so does ELP.
true, true. Great spot where Quest was on the ring apron, and Matt tries to do a. Matt Vandergriff tries to do a sunset flip over the top and sunset bomb to the floor, but Quest fights him off and hits his beautiful corkscrew acai moonsault to Matt on the floor. I loved it. Really good match. Quest doing the sky blue code blue move with the code, you know, the snap sunset flip thing, the code red, but her version where she jumps in from the side and then flips into it, which is called the
Oh,
code
yes,
blue.
yeah.
Quest did that in this match. I'm like, oh, he did a code blue. Nice. But the end of this match comes. Mitch Inoku driver by Quest. He goes up to the top, but misses a Phoenix Splash. And Matt rocks Quest with a lariat. He hits the running knee to the head and scores the victory. Man, this guy's got so many ways to just win a match. Like, he keeps changing it up every show. He had that 450 at one point. He used Styles Clash. He's used multiple different types of finishers, and I really like that.
I think the word that best describes him is adaptable. He seems to be able to just kind of match whoever he's facing and then just figure out how to trick them and outdo them, much like with the 450, with the Styles Clash, with this one. Acting a little heelish also in this match, which I kind of love because Adrian Quest is known for being, the face guy. He's always been that kind of face guy in NJPW as well. Matt Vandergriff had been kind of like not really walking into the heelish. He was more facey, but I would consider him more of a walk the line kind of guy, very similar to Los Ingobernables as a whole, where they just kind of walk that line and deviate off once in a while. This was a deviation into the heel area, which was a refreshing experience for me to see him kind of doing that and getting the boos and the reaction out of the crowd. It really shows how experienced he is, that he can work the face and get the pops and the cheers from the crowd, but also work a heel and still get the boos out of the crowd while Adrian Quest is still getting the cheers. I felt this was a really, really great way to kind of start the pre-show and really welcome people into the building. It looked pretty full, actually, went by the time this match started.
Yeah,
People were excited to see this.
you could see gas, but as the night went on, it got fuller and fuller as it went. And they felt like, and again, their numbers were pretty good for the venue they were in. At least what I read, what I saw on WrestleTix, they were close. They weren't sold out, but they came close. Yeah.
And real quick, in between this match and the next match, which was a match we were both looking forward to, we did catch a nice promo with Alex Windsor backstage. I just wanted to bring it up because, god damn, was it intimidating and like not in the regular kind of ways that we're usually used to with the men. It was like very, very much in British, obviously. I'm gonna kick your ass. Like, it was just such a very tense and emotional, to the point promo that was just so well done and very intimidating by Alex Windsor. Andre, what did you think about it?
I thought she did a good job. The audio, I was having audio issues. I don't know what was going on. It was weird at the beginning of the promo. It seemed very low, that it jumped up to normal partway through the promo to me. I don't know, with my feed. I was having video issues. I don't know what it was. Then I turned it off. I turned back on, and I had no more of those problems. I just don't know if something was coming through weird.
It must have been you. I did not have those problems on my end, and we were watching from the same source.
Yeah, we're watching the same account. So.
I don't know. That was weird. I didn't have that problem.
Yeah, I think it was just my computer was doing. I think I was just, I don't know, something's wrong. But yeah, I thought she did. She's really good, and I really like her, and I think she could be really strong addition for the strong brand in the
Oh,
States.
yeah.
I think if they want to bring her over to Stardom, have her do some stuff there,
Ooh.
because again, there's the part, there's the partnership now. They're gonna own Stardom in a bit, New Japan. So I could see her, a
Yeah.
girl like a lady like her, go there for a few months and just let her have a great run there. There's some great
Oh,
stuff you could
yeah.
do with Alex Windsor.
100%. You know where she fits in just by her look alone and kind of her attitude, which I think would be refreshing for this group. The now kind of lonely Queen's Quest. Could use a little bit of an attitude adjustment. Maybe having someone like Alex Windsor will help bring people like Hina and even elevate Saya Kamitani a little bit to that a little intimidation, aggressive kind of era.
I think that would be great.
No. Let's
Yeah.
take it in the next match because I was very excited for this.
It is the night after he was in Edmonton, Alberta. Mustafa Ali taking on Lio Rush, who will be, for us, is here this Sunday on March 19th in Edmonton, Alberta for RCW. It's a Mustafa Ali versus Lio Rush. I was excited because it's a guy we had literally seen the night before. There's a guy we're going to see this coming weekend. I goddamn loved it.
How many people get to say that? Only people in Edmonton, that's for sure.
I
Take us into
loved
it, man. This was great.
Leo. Leo's got a jacket on that was just pretty fly. It's when he's kind of wearing in the
Yes,
picture here. Mustafa Ali with this
very
really
plushy one.
Mustafa Ali with a promo video before he enters. Just kind of like pretty much putting Leo down and just saying he's not
Yeah.
on his level. And he's gifting him a match. It was
It
pretty
was a
funny.
charity match. He
Yeah.
emphasized that it was for charity. And this I'm happy you brought this up because this was a very different kind of arrogance than what we got from and more intimidating that we got from Alex Windsor just before, where he was like gleefully and happily just, this is a charity match. I'm giving back to the less fortunate. La la. Like it was just so positively delivered while being so unapologetically harsh. I loved
Yeah,
it. It was
very
great.
much. Yeah, just great. Leo attacks while Ali's entering and hits this beautiful Liger style heel kick. Just I love this match. Leo, like later in the like there's this great spot where Ali hits a jackhammer Goldberg special for two. I was like, what? I was like, okay, let's go again. Yeah, just both these guys flying. The Lopes from Leo Rush are so good. And Leo Ali gets Leo Rush in a sharpshooter at one point, but Leo pulls a hair to pull him through, which we saw the night before with Harlan Abbott. It was really cool to see that spot 2 nights in a row. And he ends up hitting a spin kick, or Leo hits a spin kick and then hits the Rush Hour, which is that springboard, low springboard stunner that he has. He then goes up, hits final hour, but Ali does the Tam Nakano slash Natsupoi slash Azumi, like rise up
And
from
say
the pin
Oriana.
that and Soriano that slip that slide out and just
Bridge
rise
up.
up from the pin that bridge out. It looks so good.
So
Yeah, he does that. And
cool.
but Lio Rush hits a poison rana, just jumps on his back, hits a poison rana for two. The finish though
Wow.
comes. Leo goes to the top, but Ali rolls away. So Leo comes down, but he ends up getting tossed into the corner. Ali gets a backslide out of the corner, but puts his feet up on the turnbuckles to get the leverage and gets the win. And then Lio Rush is pissed after the match. He's shoving a ref. And he's just pushing Ali. Ali attacks Leo. The young lions and security are in to pull them apart. And then the lights go out. Let's come back on. Leo has this black goo coming out of his mouth. It just looks, it's disgusting. And it's the black heart, Leo Rush, is back. Ali just like runs off. Leo's laughing maniacally, like he's a crazy supervillain. It was great.
Yeah, this is when his villain angle just started again. This was a straight up fun, high speed, like junior match that I would expect out of both of these guys. What a treat to watch. You pretty much mentioned everything that I wrote down, the quick start, the triple Lope to Ali right off the hop, the bridging out, but Leo hitting within the reverse Rana. Such a great, great match. There's not much else I can add to this. I would have switched this out. I would have had this be the main show opener. Instead of what we got, but I didn't book the show. Should have.
Yeah. So we move on to what opened the actual pay-per-view, and it is Chaos's Rocky Romero and Tomohiro Ishii with the DKC taking on House of Tortures. I apologize. Sorry.
Torture. Andre dies. That's relatable.
That's what House of Torture makes me choke. You're right. House of Tortures, Evil, Jack Perry, and Ren Narita. Perry wearing that gross ass horse goat head again. Just
I hate it.
And then he posed with a fan who had a Cry Me a River sign. I'm like, yes, I get it. He's obviously into your heel character, but like, you don't do that shit if it's a heel.
Yeah, man. Like, make a disgusted look at it or something. Like, stay in character, because it's super confusing.
Yeah, I didn't care for it. In the match, DKC hits this beautiful pump kick to Narita. I was just like, oh, God, yes. The guy is crisp. Narita gets the push-up bar at one point, and I wrote down, Narita choking the lack of neck of Ishii was pretty funny.
It was, because, like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Rocky getting the three ever clotheslines to Evil, but Evil stops the tornado DDT as the eye poke. Narita ends up removing the corner pad, and Evil whips him into it. This is where the house sort of triple team attacks and everything. Narita misses with the push-up bar. DKC takes him out. DKC hits a lawn dart into the corner to Perry, which looked just rough, and then hits it off the corner, like flip into a senton, which he ran up the corner and flipped into a senton. It looked really cool, and he did that on Perry after he lawn darted him. But the end of the match came. Evil avoids sliced bread by Rocky, but Rocky has a rewind kick, but Evil hits a lariat. Darkness falls, only gets two. Perry then is choking the lack of neck of Ishii on the floor with a cable, and Narita has a sleeper on DKC on the floor. Evil hits Everything Is Evil in the ring on Rocky Romero to get the win. I was thinking Chaos and DKC might win this. You said, nah, they're losing, and DKC is going to take the pin, but Rocky took the pin.
Yeah. Like, did he lose that championship in CML? Mm-hmm. Is that what? Oh. Okay. Yeah. Well, then, it still seems odd that Rocky took the pin on this.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it seems a little too gracious. I don't know. I don't have a whole lot to add to this except for Taito. Taito is reffing this. It's our favorite ref. Shout out Taito.
Taito.
So good. Such a good ref. Stays out of the way. You forget that he's there until he's actually counting. It was nice to see Perry back with House of Torture. Personally, we've said this a bajillion times before. We're going to reemphasize it again. Each individual wrestler in House of Torture is so damn good in their own right. And then they get together and they suck. This was surprisingly not as torturous as I expected. Probably because a certain dick was absent from it.
Oh, he was ruining the best
Other
Super
things.
Juniors in the mor earlier in the
Yeah.
morning, so
He was ruining other things.
yeah.
So
Him and
yeah,
Yujiro.
yeah, but like this was again surprisingly not as torturous. If there wasn't the story build that came out of this, that did come out of this later in the show, this is actually I would have switched this match with Mustafa or Mustafa Ali and Lio Rush.
I agree. I agree.
Other than the story build, there wasn't a whole ton that was emphasized or like popping off in this one so much as there was with Lio Rush and Ali. So yeah, I definitely would have, especially given the story that we ended up getting out of Lio Rush at the end there, and the story that we got in combination at the beginning with Ali's promo. I don't know, I just feel like overall that match gave a little bit more. She served a little bit more than this one. So yeah, but it was still a good match. Again, not as tortury as I expected, which made it enjoyable.
But honestly, I think the placement's actually a good thing because remember, this is a pay-per-view, and that stuff and that match was free on YouTube for people live watching it. So you watch Lio Rush versus Mustafa Ali in the incredible match that they had. That sells you on going in and purchasing, spending $20 on a pay-per-view versus house. This match might not have sold me on wanting to pay for the full show. Like, you know what I mean? Like, just again, there's th you know what I mean? I understand why they would put that there to try to sell people on, hey, come watch the rest of this match was great. Come watch the rest for a pay-per-view.
I still disagree because Lio Rush and Mustafa Ali are not regular degulars on Japan, on NJPW or the Strong brand overall. This was again, as Mr. Ali said, a charity match. It's not what I would say is a completely accurate representation of the product that you would be getting, whereas this is.
I understand, but to a North American audience, that's what that match would sell the pay-per-view stronger than this would, in my personal opinion.
It depends on what you're looking for and what you wanted the marketing to be on that one.
Yeah. So we move on. It is the West Coast Wrecking Crew, Joel
Oh.
Nelson, and soon to be LPW superstar Royce Isaacs, taking on Dirty Work, Fred Rosser, and Tom Lawler. They end up brawling on this on the ramp before the match even starts. Rosser backdrops Jarrell on the apron, whips him over to the barricade, takes him into the crowd. They're back in the ring later on. Jarrell hits this huge pounce to Lawler, and Isaacs hits this beautiful release German to Rosser. Later in the match, Lawler gets the nasty knee on the brain. To Royce Isaacs, the NKOTB. New Kids on the Block. Come on. It's a shout out to New Kids on the Block, the NKOTB. Come on.
Mean, I like the New Kids on the Block. I just didn't know that's what that was.
Oh yeah, Nasty Knee on the Brain, NKOTB. It's a shout out to one of the greatest boy bands of all time. Isaacs goes to lift Jarrell Nelson one, or not Jarrell, goes to lift Rosser at one point, and then he ends up falling back towards the ropes and like drops Rosser on his head. I was like, oh, but then he like holds on and he stands back up and just lifts him up again, and they hit that Dominator Cutter combo that they do. I was just like,
That was a rough one.
Beautiful spot. Lawler gets a rear naked choke on Jarrell as Rosser has a crossface shikiming on Isaacs. But Isaacs legitimately carries Rosser over, and then he splashes them both down onto the other submission. I thought that was impressive. The beautiful pop up, like a pop up, and then into a German by Isaacs to Lawler looked really good. In the end, though, spine buster by Jarrell Nelson to Fred Rosser. He launches him into this tour of the islands by Royce Isaacs. I was like, it looked like Tour of the Islands.
It did, yeah, I thought the same thing.
Isaac hits the pile driver to Tom Lawler. Jarrell comes off the top with the flying elbow, and he pins Tom Lawler for the win.
This felt more like a brawl than anything to me. There were points of it where I was less invested in watching it, but still like forcing myself to watch it. But I was definitely, it was a very emotional match. I think that's why I got a little separated from it, because it was more emotional for them than it was for me, which is understandable, right? We have the West Coast Wrecking Crew who've been touring with Tom Lawlor and part of Team Filthy for quite some time. So to have that kind of like, it's arguably a friendship breakup is worse than a breakup. So, this was actually for me the best I'd seen West Coast Wrecking Crew though. Like I knew they were a good tag team, just they hadn't quite reached that pinnacle for me. This match did help get them there for me. And now I'm even more excited to see Royce Isaacs. And now I'm a bit more of a fan of Jarrell Nelson. I don't know. I kind of felt, even though he was like taking a lot of the bumps in this, Rosser was kind of like, I don't want to say an unimportant part of this match, but he certainly was more of a shadow in it in comparison to Tom Lawlor. I felt like when Lawlor was in there, it was a lot more impassioned. Whereas like when Rosser was in there, it was angry, but there was a bit less emotion behind it than when Lawlor was in there.
Yeah, I agree. Now move on to a match that pissed you and me off. It was a good match, just pissed us off. New Japan Strong Openweight Tag Team Titles TMDK Mikey Nicholls and Shane Hayes defending against the Gorilla Destiny El Phantasmo and Higuleo. Beautiful spot where Hayes hits dropkicks ELP. Then Nicholls pulls him out and hits his green killer off the apron to the floor. It looked great. Higuleo hitting that power slam into the ELP swan dive and into the lion salt. Higuleo is later taking shots from TMDK. But they hit a backdrop neck breaker to Higuleo, and then they hit the power bottom onto ELP, but they only get two. TMDK fights off a double team later in the match. They end up fighting off the, I think it was ELP fight, or is it ELP or Higuleo fights off Thunder Valley. Higuleo fights off Thunder Valley, hits the snap power slam to Hayes. ELP hits a sudden death to Nicholls and dive, sending him to the floor, hits a dive onto him. Higuleo follows up with a godsend choke slam to Shane Hayes. They hit Super Thunder Kiss 86. And Gorilla Destiny are your new NJPW Strong Openweight Tag Team Champions. Why are they playing hot potato with the titles? And why are you taking the titles off of TMDK? Why?
Yeah, like come on, guys. I hate to say it because I really have enjoyed the evolution of ELP and Hikuleo as a tag team, but they are very much becoming the new Bishamon of the strong division. In that it's just like, man, why are they in everything? Because when you start to get overwhelmed like that, they start to become just redundant. You run out of creative things to do. Not to say that happened in this match. This was actually, I would say, one of the more solid matches for in-ring work on the show. But god damn, again, as you said, why are these belts becoming hot potatoes? We have to start having some strong defenses from the people who have these titles. Otherwise, the division, not even just the people having these individual matches, the division overall starts to look really chaotic and really weak. And we don't want that. And like we have been saying that the division is certainly in shambles right now, but this doesn't help. This makes it look worse. That being said, like I love Hikuleo and ELP, and I love the evolution that they've done. Just I would have liked to see them kind of take the fall, go back to Japan and regroup and kind of figure out what they want to do and if they're wanting to stay in the North American Strong brand, if they're wanting to go I was planning to go back to Japan permanently. I was kind of hoping that it wouldn't be such back and forth. Because it is a why though. They've been teasing TMDK for a year with these titles, putting them in bouts against Guerrillas of Destiny, against Bishamon, against all these really amazing tag teams, and they're just coming up short.
Yeah.
Just every single time, just short. And it's like we finally felt that they were being rewarded. And then boom, we're just let down as fans again. Come on, you guys. The TMDK really enjoyed, or really deserved, sorry, this title run, and they deserved it to be a long one. And I'm feeling very let down by this. Rocky, fix it.
Yeah, I agree. We move on though for another title. It's a strong women's championship. Stephanie Vecchia is defending against Alex Windsor.
Good pronunciation.
I gotta give Windsor some great props for her cravat work, like working that
Oh,
cravat in the
yeah.
match. I love it. I love the cravat.
So good.
So point Vakir gets a suplex and hits the head scissor and gets the head scissors on the mat and then hits and does rolls over and starts slamming the face into the mat repeatedly. It's a great spot. They
The
trade.
reverse Brazilian lap dance.
I'm not gonna say that.
Because it's not Brazilian.
They trade. They're trading headbutts at center. Vakir gets a super kick, but Windsor hits his hard lariat and they both go down. Plus headbutts were just gross.
Yeah.
Windsor sends Vecchia to the apron, pulls her through into a DDT, then goes up, hits a drop kick to Vecchia, while she's hanging in the ropes. Like it's great stuff there. Windsor with these great lariats fills up with a teardrop suplex. She gets the Scorpion Deathlock, but Vecchia gets to the ropes. The end of the match though comes. Vecchia up kicks the Scorpion Deathlock attempt, then dodges out of the corner as Windsor tries to attack her. She gets the leg, hitting a dragon screw out of the ropes, then hits the running meteor in the corner, follows it up with a package backbreaker, and she gets the win.
What a freaking match this was. Holy fracking shit. First of all, just gotta shout out Windsor's gear. The coat that she came in was very, it's very regal looking. It very much reminded me of a little bit of Cody Rhodes and a little bit of the Three Musketeers. It was very noble looking. And it to paired up so perfectly with the arrogant, kind of cocky attitude that she came in with. I actually posted her entrance on my story just because I was so impressed with her look overall. It was just so good. The Baywatch cut though was crazy. She looked so good. It was kind of giving me also Iron Man Tama Tonga kind of vibes. Loved it. And then pairing up with Stephanie Vaquier, who's got this amazing kind of villain-esque, maleficent, badass kind of vibe to her. I just loved it because this was perfect heel versus heel work. They played it so good and the crowd was so behind them. It was so great. The reverse Brazilian that Vaquier does is just so good. I really like that move. It's a very unique move. And even though it seems to be something that is actually pretty simple to set up, I only see her really doing it. So it's very impressive. Must be very a little, I could see that being a little difficult with the core. I really like the double face wash stomp thing that Vakia does, where she hops on your forehead and just drags her boots down the side of your temples. It just looks so mean, and it's a nice little. A little heel cherry on top of the ice cream sundae of nastiness. There's also that jawbreaker that Vakia does that I really, really like. She just makes it look so good. Wow, this is an incredible match. And like you mentioned at the beginning of the show, I really do hope that this opens up the door for Windsor to come over to Stardom for a little bit, because I think she would fit in very nice with Queen's Quest.
Yeah. Yeah, I think she would do a great job. But I think if she's going to be with anybody, she's going to be away to tie because she was already working with them.
They got duck leather. Good.
That carries another addition. She's already away to tie. We all know that.
I was talking about Windsor.
Windsor.
Vakir obviously would be with away to tie. She's worked with away to tie. But yeah, I was talking Windsor. Windsor would be perfect Queen's Quest.
Yeah. So move on, tag team match. It's the Bullet Club's David Finlay and Kenta versus Los Ingobernables de Japón, Tetsuya Naito, and Yota Tsuji. I have four notes, and Tsuji's involved, and it's pretty much all Tsuji in my notes. Right off the hop, Tsuji drops Finlay with a shoulder block and hits the Salmon Splash, as we call it, that running splash.
Salmon Splash! Walker also calls it Salmon Splash, which warms my heart, because I know it's supposed to be called Mount Tsuji, but he calls it Salmon Splash, too.
Yeah, later in the match, Tsuji gets her around the world head scissors to Finlay. But he ends up getting tossed in the corner, traps the head of Finlay in his feet and just slams it into the mat. I love that spot. End of the match, so Tsuji slips out of the Finlay powerbomb, gets that backbreaker facebuster stomp combo, but Kenta breaks it up. But Naito hits our tornado DDT to him, then follows up with Valencia, which is that flip cutter off the second rope for two, and he gets a two count to Kenta. Tsuji comes in, that pump knee to Kenta's face. Naito follows up with Destino for the win.
It was funny because we were like, Kenta's not going to take the loss here. He's the Defy champion. He's literally, like, besides Finlay, like, he's on the champion team. Mm-hmm. Wow, wow.
Well, and he's also the IWGP tag team champion now.
Does that mean that we'll see the combination of Yota Tsuji and Tetsuya Naito taking on Kenta and Chase Owens?
Yes, you get
that would be a champs. Match. I would love to see that match because you got that technical prowess of Chase Owens and that just the sheer kick your ass style of Kenta taking on the unique styling of Yota Tsuji and the lucha styling of Naito. That'd be a good match. Mm-hmm. Be a good match. There was a lot of shenaniganism in this one for a Bullet Club match with Kenta and the ref. I don't know why he was so intent on involving the ref in his shenanigans, but like the amount of times that he grabbed the ref and like tried to grab the ref, would pull the ref in front, like, and the ref was able to avoid so many things. It was almost like the ref was messing up his spot. I don't know. It just seemed excessive. It almost seemed like Yano level weird and goofy to me, how much he was trying to drag the ref, and I don't even remember what ref it was. I think it was the white guy with the black hair and the red shoes. Maybe that's why, because he had red shoes.
Could be.
Who knows? But yeah, this was a fun little match. I didn't really expect the ending there. I kind of either expected a time limit draw or maybe Tsuji taking the pin on this one. But yeah.
Yep.
Fun match.
Yeah. So they did announce Fantascomania USA in San Jose for New Japan Strong on July 13th. Mm-hmm. So it'll be the next New Japan Strong event will be a Fantascomania co-promoted show.
Yeah. Ooh, that means we could see Soberano Jr. Swoon. Meh.
We move on to a match that I was like, yeah, I'll see this. But then I was just like, does it really need to happen? Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Zack Sabre Jr. This match is simply for Sabre to get his win back from Wrestle Kingdom. Sabre working over the knee of Tanahashi throughout the match. Just a lot of great transition work throughout the match with both of these guys. I think they both did a really good job. Sabre just moving from submission to submission on Tana throughout the match. Sabre with the PKs to the chest. Tana catches, he gets three. Then Tanahashi catches the fourth. He ends up drop kicking the other leg. Falls up with three twists and shouts. And then hits a sling blade for two. Tana goes up to the top. Hits high fly flow. But Sabre ends up like rolling him through. the high fly flow and rolls up and stands up and hits this PK to the chest. They get into pin trading. Sabre getting out of the last one of the last possible millisecond. Sabre gets a European clutch. Botanic gets out at that 2.999 kind of point. Sabre goes and hits a Sabre blade, but he only gets a one count. Then he reverses the dragon screw into the, and he stops the dragon screw and hits the next snap to Tanahashi, picks him up, Zack Driver, and Zack Sabre Jr. gets the win. And yes, it was a Sabre blade.
I'm not going to dispute it. Just make sure you hold everyone to the same flame. So when we have other things in other...
Ricka Bunny said Sabre blade.
Okay. Sure. This was a fun match. This was what I expected. But for me, it was just kind of there. Mm. I feel like I've seen enough of these two fighting each other. That I'm good for a little bit. Give us a few months between the next one, maybe a year would be nice. But yeah, this was a great match, and like it shows off the technical prowess of Zack Sabre Jr. And like he elevated El Presidente in this one so good, because he makes it look like he's not struggling whenever he gets in there with him. But like, again, I'm good. I would actually be much happier if Tanahashi did start to take more of a corporate kind of aspect to his work in NJPW and kind of stepped away from entering competition for a little while just to get rested up and kind of get every little duck in a row in there, because I do feel that this is can be a bit of a distraction for him. So, yeah. Still a fun match, though.
Oh, yeah. Still a fun match. Mm-hmm. We move on to... This was a fun match. New Japan World Television title match. Jeff Cobb versus Lance Archer. The American Psycho Lance Archer. Not Murder Hawk Monster. Yeah. He is American Psycho. He's bringing it back. He's attacking young lions at ringside, keeping that Suzuki gun spirit alive in the world.
He was spitting water again, wasn't he? Throwing water all over the place.
The water spits.
Wasn't spitting, but he was like...
Yeah, that's kind of... He's done that pretty much every time he showed up in New Japan, but like with the water. But this is American Psycho. I just love that he's kicking the crap out of young lions and stuff. Cobb hits a Spanish fly off the hop. And he goes for a tour of the islands. But... Archer gets up, but Cobb hits this huge German. Archer just rolls out to the floor, having to regroup. It was this incredibly fast open, and I'm like, holy crap, Cobb is all in here. There was a meat chant at one point in this match. Here's it. They're slamming into each other with lariats, and this is where the meat chant starts going. Cobb gets a super kick, hits what I can only describe as a rampage. The Hanari Rampage, and then just gets up and then just comes down with a forearm. He follows up with a standing moonsault, but only gets two. Archer hits the big boot, follows up with a ripcord Uranagi for two. He gets Cobb up, goes for Blackout, gets fought off, but Archer hits that rising knee to Cobb on the top rope, and he ends up hitting Blackout to Jeff Cobb, but he only gets two. Cobb pulls him over into a crucifix for two. Just great stuff. In the end, though, Archer stomps Cobb down, grabs the hand, stands him up, goes for the rope walk, but Cobb pulls him off of the top rope into Tour of the Islands to get the win. I love the way they finished it with the pull off the top Tour of the Islands. And then after the match, Ishii comes down, just trolling down the ringside, no neck and toe, and he goes face-to-face with Cobb. And Cobb seemingly accepts the challenge of Ishii, and they're going to face off at some point for the TV title.
Battle of no necks.
Mm-hmm.
It's Jeff Cobb, I would say. Very close second.
Mm-hmm.
Or no neck. It's very hard to choke that man. It's just fair, the athleticism that both of these guys have. And I struggle to get out of bed. Like, goddamn. It's just the ability that both these guys have. the height that Lance Archer can get his foot up to do just the running kicks that he does, the fact that frickin' Jeff Cobb can do a Spanish fly, it's just not fair. Kevin Kelly. Shout out Kevin Kelly. I don't have a whole lot to add to this one. I just kind of enjoyed the ride because I love watching Lance Archer when he gets, especially when he gets unhinged like this. He brings out the absolute best in everyone he wrestles, especially when he's like this. And like Jeff Cobb is just such a joy and privilege to watch on his own. To have someone who just matches his energy, this match was so fun. I couldn't take notes. I just sat and enjoyed it. And this match is also free, is it not?
Yeah, it's free in New Japan World. It is a TV title match. All TV title matches are free. They don't air free because it aired during the pay-per-view, but it was put up after, like after it was they finished processing and put everything up as individual matches. You can go to that page and click this one and watch it for free because absolutely, it's a two big meaty men slapping meat.
And while you're there, you can go and see how Jeff Cobb won that title.
So before we get into talking about this next match, Aaron Hanare, or just a Hanare promo airs, and he says the Never Openweight Championship is his destiny, and he is, whether it's Uemura, whether it's Takagi, he is coming for this title. Right, ladies and gentlemen, he is coming for this title.
I'm excited because I've been now seeing in the days that have come from there more promos and stuff popping up on his socials, more pictures and stuff of his journey and stuff. It's looking like we're gonna get Hanari back, and I'm living for it. I did notice though, and I don't know if you noticed also in these videos, there was a distinct like there was clips of him in the War Dog battle, obviously, because that was a pretty traumatic experience for him. A distinct lack of United Empire emphasis. I'm hoping that he's still coming back as a United Empire member. But I found it a little odd, considering the kind of upheaval that United Empire is in right now, that there wasn't a crown up or or even like a logo kind of flashing up for him.
So let's get into this one. I don't got a lot for this one. It was fine. I couldn't, I didn't get into this match. I just didn't. I don't know why. I think it's Uemura. I'm just not a like
I was gonna say, I think you know, because
it's
it
a
was the
lack it's the
same
lack
reason I couldn't get into it.
it's that lack of charisma that the man has, and he to me he it hurt. I think he hurt Takagi's charisma in this match. Shingo hits a slam, falls with a deadfall elbow, like it's like deadfall, like you know the crazy dude from AEW, the crazy little tiny dude.
Darby Allin.
Darby Allin does that deadfall. He jumps off the top rope and just drops his back first onto people.
Coffin drop, doesn't
The
he?
coffin drop, yeah. Well, Takagi did the same thing off the second, but hitting an elbow. I thought it was really cool. Then follows up with a stack power bomb for two. Then transition to a crossface, but Uemura gets to the ropes. And then a match, Shingo catches a running crossbody and hits a Death Valley driver, follows it up with pumping bomber and hits Made in Japan for two. Uemura reverses Last of the Dragon into the deadbolt suplex, but only gets two. He then hits a frog splash off the top, which is a new addition to his game, but he only gets two. They start trading just really gross headbutts. Takagi in the end hits a pumping bomber and then just cradles him on the mat. Like hits the pumping bomber and holds the head, grabs the legs and cradles him for the one, two, three, and gets the win off a pumping or like that pumping bomber sliding lariat thing that he does. Yeah, it was really kind of cool just to see him end it with a pumping bomber.
Well, I mean, yeah. The ending was a little sudden for me. I don't know if that was supposed to happen like that or if it was just something that happened, but I did struggle to get into this match as well. I'm endlessly frustrated that Yuji Uemura is the first young lion from the last class to get a singles title run. What weird time that, like, it's such an amazing time to be a wrestling fan, but man, is it a bit of a confusing one to be an NJPW fan? Because we have like Yu Uemura, arguably, I'm sorry, the most undeserving of the four to have a singles title. And then we have Bolton Oleg, who's still a considered a young lion, the trios champion. Like, I am so confused right now. But yeah, it did kind of impact Takagi's ability to kind of not necessarily perform, but his ability to keep the crowd hot, because the crowd was hot for this match. They just, like us, there was a certain wind that came out of the sails for them in this one. They were still hooting and hollering, but they weren't hooting and hollering in the same way that they were for the meet in the match before.
So we move on to a essentially it's a no ropes last man standing match. No disqualification. You get last you get a got 10. It's Eddie Kingston defending his New Japan Strong title against Gabe Kidd. This guy, Kensei Abbott, raps Gabe Kidd out to the ring to the War Dog song. I don't know if he's actually the artist or not, but I think he is. He's got to be. He sounded right, but
Keep going, I'll find out.
I wrote literally this part to go. They brawl. They chop. Kingston with mounted elbows. That's literally one of my notes from the beginning. Kidd throws a chair at the face of Kingston. This is where Kingston cuts himself. Legitimately, just cuts himself. You watch him cut himself.
Yeah, sorry, what was the guy's name you said?
Kensei Abbott is what they called
Yes,
him. Okay, so yeah.
that is the person who does the War Dogs thing.
And then Kidd throws another chair at his face. It was just, God damn it. The spot where Kidd has Eddie by the post and shoves a turnbuckle in his mouth and then shoves it in his eye. It was like, ew, the human mouth is very dirty. Why would you do that to somebody?
His eye was pretty swollen after that too.
Kid ends up pile driving Eddie onto a barbed wire wrapped chair. I'm like, that's bad for you. Like, dude. And then he puts this barbed wire chair across two other chairs. Eddie then gets a Kojima chops and slams Kid face first into that barbed wire chair and then stomps on his head. Like, just
And isn't that where that opened up kids' head?
So later in the match, Eddie puts a table across the barricade and the apron, and this leads to something very bad. He then cuffs them together. They're fighting. Kid's choking Eddie with the chain on the cuffs, and then they're at the edge of the apron by this table, and this is where Kid suplexes Eddie through the table, and Eddie's legs crack into the barricade, and this man did not move for the first bit. Kid gets up at like 9, and the ref counts 10. Kid is your new champion here. Let's talk them, and then Kensei and David
Let's talk
Finley
the match, yeah.
came out to celebrate with the match. Let's talk the match, and then we'll get into everything, the post match and the developments ever developments this week.
Yeah, I hated the immediate blood, and I hated the lack of organicness on Kingston's part. Man, if you're gonna take an unprotected headshot anyway, just leave it. There's no reason to cut yourself. Just let it happen, because it does take away from the realism. Like, it is, wrestling is predetermined, but part of the jobs of the wrestlers is to suspend that reality in the same way that my reality is suspended when I'm watching television or a movie or something. There was that one point where Kingston wrapped that chain around Gabe Kidd and tried to strangle him with it. I can't remember if that was before or after Gabe Kidd had wrapped said chain around his forearm and started feeding that forearm to Eddie Kingston's face. There was at one point a stop sign, and Eddie Kingston did a double stomp onto the stop sign, which was on Gabe Kidd, which I thought was adorable for some reason. I thought it reminded me of Mario. There was one point where they were feeding each other something. It was before they ended up handcuffed. I think they were just doing this trade-off where, like, He hit him and he fell down, and then he popped back up and hit the other one, and he fell down and he popped back up, and then someone hit a German and they popped up, and someone else hit a German and they popped up. Like it was one of those kind of transitions where at the end of it, kid was down. And you know that audio that kind of like is making the rounds on the internet where it's like, I'm alive, I'm dead, I'm up, I can run faster than a motherfucker. Like, have you heard that? That kind of was like what Eddie Kingston was. He was like, I'm alive, I'm dead. And he just randomly fall to the ground. And then he's like, I'm up again. And then he's suddenly up again. And then he falls down again. And then he's up and running around. Like he literally personified that audio. So if you know that audio, you can hopefully get a good laugh out of that. Yeah, the barrier suplex was a big yikes. Seeing his legs hit and him immediately grab them, I was like, oh. I don't remember what the guy's name was, but he used to be a part of the Kingdom with Matt Taven and Bennett. He was the baseball player. I feel like he did a springboard and hit his leg in a similar fashion and actually like broke his femur, I think. No bueno. No
No.
bueno. Take us into the post.
So we go post-match. Eddie does eventually get up, gets in the ring, and he's confronted by Jack Perry, who you can't actually see in this picture. And then the Young Bucks attack him. They beat him down. They all stomp on him. They cut a shitty promo calling Eddie an idiot. Nick stomps on his groin. They're insulting the audience. And then they hit the EVP trigger to Eddie Kingston. I don't really even care about this because this was a setup for AEW, which now means nothing because I'm going to put the next picture up. Eddie Kingston broke his leg. This man literally got up and got back into the ring with a broken leg. Then again, I watched Phoenix Taylor with a broken leg at my first ever PWA indie show, jump off of a basketball hoop, land, break his shit, like break his like shin bone, and then hobble back to the ring, half climb a ladder before Randy Myers pulled him down and climbed up and took the title. So, yeah.
That does not sound worth the pennies that he would have been paid for that.
No, but Eddie Kingston, I understand him getting up after because he's still that adrenaline still flowing through you. You're not going to be feeling the pain like you will be an hour later. But goddamn, this takes up like it takes him out of any the few any future New Japan stuff in the next while. Is he gonna it, if he was being considered for the G1 again? Is he would he be ready in time? Right, because if it's just a clean break, it's about 6 weeks. But if there's ligament damage or anything else, that's longer. It takes him out of double or nothing.
Ligament damage happens by getting back up and walking on it.
But I'm saying, and he takes him out of what it probably is going to be the main event of Double or Nothing for the Anarchy in Arena match. So again, it's just I feel so bad for the dude, like breaking your leg first off, and then getting kind of taken out of some pretty big stuff, possibly.
But he's got the best care he can get from AEW and his connections. I would say for his sake that his 2024 is probably done. And if if you're a fan of Eddie Kingston, make sure you send him well wishes and stuff throughout the months because he's going to need that mental support as we all would in his situation. It sucks because I was just starting to really get into him. I'm really enjoying what I see when he's in NJPW, minus the help, we'll call it, which isn't needed. It's Gabe Kidd. Like, he'll hit you hard enough that it'll freaking crank you and make you bleed. So, yeah, I feel this sucks so badly for him. But this is also as much as suckery as an opportunity for him to either try something else, because he's a great talker. Maybe we'll start to see him have his own podcast in this time to help kind of get through the days and stuff like that. Maybe he'll start popping up on other casts. Maybe he'll start doing interviews. Hey, maybe we could reach out to him, see if he wants to do something. Yeah, who knows? Like, this is an incredible opportunity for him also to redirect his attention while he is recovering. So,
yeah.
We got to find the silver lining.
There's always a silver lining. There's always one there. So we move on. Main event of the evening. It is for the NJPW World Heavyweight Championship. It is Jon Moxley versus his young boy, Shota Umino. Great. There was a great video recapping their history, which was very nice to watch. Because, again, him coming in, was it back in 2019? Yeah, 2019, doing that G1, working with Umino, and then working with Umino on and off for the last 5 years. Just great just to have that little play there. I liked it. Just really good stuff to begin. And again, Umino started this match early, hitting the Topikon Hilo to Moxa, after knocking him off the apron during his entrance. I just jumped to a couple of notes that I have in this match. I don't like I have some highlighted ones. There's a great spot where there's a drop kick off the top into an exploder. Umino falls with ignition for two, but then he's going for Death Rider. Moxley knows that move like the back of his hand. And reverses it into the cutter for two. I thought I got with this match. Every time Umino wanted that Death Rider, Moxley knew a way out of the Death Rider, which was great. A great storytelling device in this match. Mox reverses a Blaze Blade into the Death Rider, but Umino pops up and hits and falls up with a Blaze Blade, and they both go down. Just really good stuff throughout this match. Umino with the running knee to the back of the head in the corner, then hits a tornado DDT, and then he gets this cradle DDT for, but it only gets two. Then he goes for Blaze Blade, and then he lifts him and does this like swinging Death Rider, but he only gets two. Goes for the Blaze Blade again, but Mox ends up catching Umino, slamming him down, hits the Seth Rollins curb stomp, and gets the win. Yeah, or sorry, hit Death Rider. It hits Death Rider and gets the win. But yeah, I thought really good match here for these guys. Like delivered, I think everything you were expecting. I know we both want Umino to win, but again, I think he's not. I don't think he's dropping before Forbidden Door. So,
Mr. Tony's gotta get everything his way, doesn't he? There could have been a better story to tell with Shota winning that title, but you know, tomato tomato. This was a really great match in that it was an NJPW Moxley match. This was a straight up wrestling match from Moxley against a straight up wrestler like Shota Umino. It was phenomenal because there was no blood. No blood. Well, there was later. Mm-hmm. But in this match, there was no intention of it. There was no obviousness like there was in the match beforehand. Mm-hmm. It was so good. And Moxley was so good. I was like, man, why wasn't I subjected to this guy when he first came out of the WWE like this? Why wasn't he always like this? It was so damn good. There's one part where I just wanted that you didn't note, where he was setting up a table or something outside, and ref, our favorite ref, Taito, was yelling at him, don't do that, don't do that. Moxley just flipping him off. Unnecessary. Taito was just doing his job. Get your butt back in the ring. I actually really enjoyed this main event, which is crazy to say because I've been really not on the show to train for a little bit, and I've really not been on the Moxley train, but this match really won me over for both of them. Take us in the post.
So quickly post match, they shake hands, they bow to each other, and Evil ruins everything. House Torture attacks. Evil takes the belt, sprays the belt, says he's going to be the next challenger. Which is true. Dominion. Jon Moxley versus Evil. Shingo Takagi versus Hanare. Yuya Uemura versus Great Okan for the KOPW title. Jeff Cobb versus Ishii for the television title. And Bullet Club. Kenta and Chase Owens versus Gorilla's Destiny versus Bishamon versus TMDK for both of the sets of tag titles in New Japan.
Wait, what? I didn't know about that.
I just saw it when I opened
up the
video.
Are you sick?
Yeah.
Why? Do you literally not have any combination of anybody else that you can give us that we have to keep getting Bishim on? Come on. Ugh. You know what? This is an opportunity, NJPW, El Presidente, Rocky, whoever, Gato, fix it, to give back TMDK what is rightfully theirs. You shouldn't have lost those titles.
I agree.
So they, but like, and it's for both titles, you said? So we're uniting them again?
Mm-hmm. Well, with Mel's angry face, with Mel's angry face there, you can find me on the X at That Canada Guy, TikTok, Instagram, and Threads at That Canada Dude. You can find me on Facebook at Andre Mel Bell Wrestling Talk, or right here on the YouTube page, Andre Mel Wrestling Talk. You can also find us at SundayNightsMainEvent.com in audio form. Go over there, grab the RSS feed. Listen to them. They are great, really great content over there, including us. If you want to support them, patreon.com/SNMRadio for only $4 per month. You can also check me out over on Twitch.tv/OurLocalEstablishment and YouTube.com/@OurLocalEstablishment. On Wednesdays, every once in a while, me and my boy Ole, we do a show called Marvel Talk Talking. We just did one on the last three episodes of X-Men 97, so go check that out. You can also find our stuff over at youtube.com/@backbreakervideo. Simulcast is over there a week later by Mike Thoreau. So thank you so very much for supporting us over there, my boy. If you want to see any of his live content, go to twitch.tv/Mike Thoreau. He's got his AEW watch alongs on Wednesdays and Saturdays and pay-per-view Sundays. And he's gaming almost every night of the week over there. So check that out. If you want replays of the game content, go to youtube.com/@backbreakergaming. Where you can find stuff from Mike the Ref, from Mr. PJC, from this guy right up here, Mr. Rick Jules, and their freaking guest, Kayla J.
We love Kayla J here.
Melball, where can they find you?
If you're wanting to follow a Melball, you can follow her on the X thing at Collins Melball. You can follow her on everything else, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Mastodon, and Blue Sky at Melball Collins. You can also find me on our local establishment programming, Japanese Wrestling Update, on Fridays at 8 p.m. Mountain Time. Unless it's not. And then we'll let you know on social media. You can also find me on Astro Pizarro's YouTube channel, where we do our show, Ladies Wrestling Showcase. We got an episode coming up very soon. We got a couple guests that we have lined up to have on, so stay tuned to our socials to see when that is coming out. If you're wanting to watch NJPW, we will leave a link in the description box down below. It's njpwworld.com. It is 999 yen, or approximately 10 Canadian. Shout out Sean Spears. It's more like 750, according to me. But still an amazing price to watch some amazing wrestling. Andre, my trusted friend and colleague, do you have anything else to say to the beautiful people?
No, I just want to say thank you all so very much for tuning in here and supporting us on Sunday's Main Event. If you're listening, please subscribe over there. And if you're watching on the YouTube, please like the video, subscribe to the channel, comment down below. Don't forget to share us out to all your friends, family, and crazy little weirdos that have weird stuff coming out of their mouth, or the ones that like to spray paint things black. And don't forget to hit that notification bell so you can be alerted every time we drop a new video.
Ding dong, but keep the house of torture to yourself.
Hello.
And that being said, I am your Melball. Nowhere there is dry. We will see you next time. Adios.